Good evening, everyone. Welcome. So, I suppose that we should begin our review. We've got about 15 minutes or so to remind ourselves what we've learned about calm abiding. And I'm not sure if any of the folks who don't have their video on are actually joining us for the review or just holding place until actual class starts. But I'd just like to ask if anybody has any questions or anything before we start reviewing?
Nope.
Okie dokie. Well, I really think that, so I guess it was 2 weeks ago that Lama La led the review, and she was really, I think, challenging us to think more deeply rather than just reciting what we know about these things. So I think that's a fantastic way to go. I'm afraid if we don't just sometimes recite, however, that we might lose what we've memorized unless folks are doing it at home. So I'm going to try to do maybe a combination of those and we'll just see how it goes. So if you like the way that Lama La does it, you could perhaps ask if she would do it again in the future sometime. But I thought it might be useful to just sort of remind ourselves about the nine stages and try to remember what they're called. So does anybody want to make an effort towards naming the stages? Okay, this is going to be a long 15 minutes. Okay, so the first stage is called inner placement. And there's something that happens sort of as a new experience when we are doing this, when we're trying to, you know, place our mind on one single object and stay focused there. Does anyone know what that new experience is?
Well, we become aware of our thoughts.
That's right. And it seems like we've got a lot of thoughts, right? Do our thoughts actually increase?
No, it just seems like that because we're paying attention to them for the first.
That's right. That's right. Okay. And so then the second stage, what's that one called?
Oh.
We have to constantly put in effort.
Continual placement.
That's it. Continual placement. Right. And so what's special about this one? What's the new experience we get there?
Those busy, busy thoughts take a little rest.
Exactly. That's right. So then we move on once we've mastered that to stage three, which is called?
Patch light placement.
Very good. Yep. And there's a new experience we get there. What's that?
Like your conceptual thoughts are exhausted.
Exactly. It's even more than at stage two where they're resting. Now they're exhausted. Exactly. Okay. And stage four is called?
Close placement.
Very good. Yep. And let's see. I think I'll ask that a different way at the next one. Okay, so what do we complete in stage four? We master something completely.
Power of mindfulness.
Yes, exactly. Mindfulness is mastered at stage four. Now, when we're just looking at these first four stages, can we still lose the object? Until where?
Until on the fourth stage, you don't lose the object anymore, especially because the power of mindfulness is complete.
Exactly. Very good. Yep.
And that's the antidote for forgetting the instruction.
Way to bring that all together, Lama La. Perfect. That's right. That's right. Okay, what's the name of stage five?
subdued placement.
That's correct. So once we get to stage five, there are a couple of states of mind we don't have to worry about anymore. What are those?
Gross excited and gross thinking.
That's right. That's exactly right. So once we get to stage five, now all we're dealing with are the subtle excitement and the subtle thinking. Yep. Okay. And then in stage six, what's the name of that one?
Pacifying.
Exactly. Yep. And what's the biggest challenge in stage six?
Oh, excited mind.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And bonus points if you can say why.
My sense is that introspection is complete. Is it not? Or is that in the seventh?
So you perfect introspection in the sixth. That's absolutely right. My understanding is that the reason why subtle excited is the biggest problem in stage six is because in stage five, you're working so hard to counter, you know, to cheer up your mind because you're countering the thinking that now you overcorrect. And of course, when we're talking about the subtle mind, it's just by a little bit, you know, going, I mean, overcorrection is not wildly off the mark, right?
So the power of introspection isn't complete until the seventh?
No, you perfected in the sixth.
Okay.
Yeah, you were right about that you perfect introspection there. But my understanding is the reason why subtle excitement is the biggest challenge is because you've swung too far trying to cheer yourself up from the sinking of stage five. So
what I don't understand is that introspection is the antidote for thinking an excited mind. So if you perfect the power of inspection, is that perfected at the end of the stage or at the beginning of the stage? Because you still have subtle excited mind.
Yeah, and I get confused about that too, Lamala. I'm not really sure exactly when we say you perfect it in this stage, does that mean when you've completed that stage? You know, like I'm not quite sure about the language there about precisely when that happens. Yeah. So I'm sorry that I'm no help there. Does anyone else know? Did anyone else take that away from the teachings? No. Okay. Okay. All right, so stage seven is called what?
Complete pacification.
Exactly, yep. And stage eight?
Becoming single-pointed.
Right. And stage nine?
Meditative stabilization.
That's right. Very good. Okay, so when we talk about the different powers, how many are there?
Six.
Right, there are six powers. And so what's the first one called?
Knowledge from hearing.
Yeah, and where do you need that? Like, how many stages?
You have that in the I think just the first stage.
That's right, yep. And then the second power is called?
Contemplation.
Yep, the power of contemplation. And how many stages do you use that for?
Just a second.
Yep. And then the next power?
Mindfulness.
And which stages, stage or stages?
That lasts through the third and fourth stages.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Yep. And what comes after mindfulness?
Power of introspection.
Very good. And how many stage or stages is that one?
Two, five, and six.
Exactly. Yep. Okay, so we have two more left. What's the next to last one?
Joyful effort.
Very good. And how many stage or stages?
That's in stages 7 and 8.
Excellent. And then the final power?
Familiarization.
Yes, very good. Okay. And so what does that mean? Like, why do we care about the powers?
Well, it seems like those are powers that help us progress, help us, you know, master each stage and then move on to the next one.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I understand it. Does anybody else have anything different or in addition? Okay. Okay, and so just to sort of jump around and see if we're, you know, able to actually integrate these things. So there's kind of a sign that you've achieved one of the stages when you're able to recite an entire mala of mani mantras without distraction. What stage have you completed once you can do that?
Is that the second stage?
Yep. Yep, and Geshe-la said that not only mani mantras, you can just say a mala of mantras. So I've seen it both ways. Okay, and what stage have we completed when we can count 21 breaths without distraction?
That's the first stage, inner placement.
Right. And so we already talked about this, but just to remind ourselves, what is the stage where we complete mindfulness?
Fourth
stage, yeah.
That's right. And again, what comes after mindfulness? What do we perfect next?
Introspection,
yeah. Yeah. And why do we care about any of these things we've talked about over the last 10 minutes?
They're all understanding that helps us when we're working on developing calm abiding so that we know sort of where we are and we understand what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. So we can kind of have an idea of where we are, and then in particular, if we're having trouble, then it's a little bit clearer perhaps of what we need to do about it to help us keep progressing. Yeah. Yeah, that's great. And of course, we also care about it because Geshe-la's asked us to do it. But I believe the reason he's asked us to do it is because of what Donna just said. So
I think Okay. Also you might mistake subtle thinking mind for meditated equipoise or meditative stabilization. So
yeah,
and then think that you've attained liberation, so you know all you are is just in subtle thinking mind.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Lama La. That if we think that we've reached our final goal and we're nowhere near that goal, then that's of course negative from a lot of point of views. One can be just how discouraging it is then when you recognize that you aren't enlightened or haven't achieved calm abiding in that case. So yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that's a really good point, Lamala. Yeah. Okay. Any questions before we wrap up the review?
I have a question. Can you
hear
me?
Yes, Julie.
Okay. My question is, when I'm thinking of my object, it's supposed to be approximately 6 feet in front of me, correct? Like a holograph. Like, so I can actually see the object, correct?
Yeah. I would say even more solid than a holograph, right? Like the object is there in front of you. Yeah.
Yes, well, I just use that to describe
sure.
what... So my question is it helpful? I seem to have like a dark room and almost be facing like a blank wall so that it becomes very clear. Not that I'm good at it or anything, but so that it becomes clearer and it seems to be more stable when I don't have other objects to deal with. It just seems to be a little easier. Am I on the right track, or is that just a distraction and I should be able to see it with all the objects there in a bright light? Which I can do it, but it seems to be easier in a very dark room.
Yeah, so Julie, what I'm hearing is that for you, when you're doing it, if you're able to do it with that dark sort of dark room, dark wall, that makes it easier for you to see things clearly, right? Is that mm-hmm. what you're saying?
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's a lot of different tools we can all use, right? I mean, some people close their eyes. Some people have their eyes open, and a lot of the instructions say to have your eyes slightly open, but then there are also a lot that say to have that you can have your eyes closed. So I'm not sure that there's that the texts make a clear statement about the brightness of the room or, you know, that type of thing. I'm curious if anyone wants to share what their experiences are, whether they've tried that, if that helps, if they have other things that they do.
I'm glad you mentioned the closed eye part. Oh, he's here. Crystal's here.
Liz, good evening. Have a seat, Chukula. Have a seat. Oh, good evening, Ramasi.
Good evening, Gisela.
Good evening, Tom. How's your friend?
He's still in really pretty tough shape, Gisela.
Yeah, we continue the prayer. Okay, we continue the prayer for this. Quickly.
Thank you.
Good evening, children. And, thank you for translating for people. Good evening, Jill. Good evening, Venerable Tintin Hamo. Good evening, Venerable Chukila. Good evening, Nili Wong. Good evening, Panditji. Good evening, Alex. Good evening, Sandra. Good evening, Jennifer. Good evening, Ryan. Good evening, Josefina. How's the situation in Texas now?
Some people are still struggling with water, but mostly we have electricity and things are getting back to normal.
Oh, yeah. We will continue to pray.
Thank you.
Good evening, Peter. Good evening, Elise. Good evening, HF. I'm not sure who is that. HF. Helen. Good evening, Will. Good evening, David.
Good evening.
Good evening, Govina. With nice, two nice dogs. What is the name?
My dog? Huh?
Yes.
She's Kali.
Kali, I know.
And she is Shiva.
Shiva. Oh, that's interesting name, Shiva. The Kali is the powerful female deity in Hinduism. Shiva is like Shiva Bhagavan, like Om Chukumaya. Supposed to living in Mount Kailash. Mount Kailash. Anyway, good evening, Julie. Good evening, Susie. Good evening, Catherine. Good evening, Jessica. Good evening, Venerable Hamo. Good evening, Emil. Emily. Good evening, Laura. Good evening, Javi Rosa. Nessa. It is hot there. It's very hot. Here today is nice. Okay, so Ramula, maybe prayer. Begin the short prayer. Or anybody, if anybody watching on YouTube, good evening.
Start with the Seven Limb Prayer. Reverently, I prostrate with my body, speech, and mind. I present clouds of three types of offering, actual and imagined. I declare all my actions accumulated since beginning with time and rejoice in their holy and ordinary being. Please remain until the end of my circuit existence and turn the wheel of karma for living being. I dedicate my own merits and those of all others to the great enlightenment. Saji Perki Shushi Meto Tami Rabdeshi Nite Genpari Sangye Jindu Mikte Uwa Ido Kunam Dak Jin La Che Pa Sho Che Tun Mama Tampa Kenam Chichu Kukala Kense Chujinti Jita Tsampe Tuje Tsima La Sha Ye Che Ki Cha Pa Wa Tu Se Idam Guru Ratamadavakam Niryatayami.
Sanje Chana Sanje Chanam La Chanjo Bhagavan Dagi Chishi Jibhya Sunam Sanje Chana
Sanje Chanam La
Chanjo Bhagavan Dagi Dage Chishi The Lord angels on So residing refuge in bodhicitta prayers, so what we need to learn, why we recite three times, and beginning of every class or every practice that we do. So point behind that is like to to teach, to listening teaching, giving teachings, or reciting mantra, reciting sutra, doing meditation on precious human life or meditation on Lamrim. Whatever meditation we do, and we try to, how do I say, do it for benefit of all living beings. So that's why we recite refuge in bodhicitta prayer. Why refuge? Of course, if yourself, if you consider yourself as a Buddhist, so then the taking refuge in Buddha Dharma Sangha. Taking refuge in Buddha Dharma Sangha. Take refuge in Buddha Dharma Sangha. To achieve liberations, fully enlightenment. In this case, of course, it's minor teachings. So you think about the benefit of all mother centered beings, not just yourself. Benefit of all mother centered beings. So basically we're trying to do everything with altruistic attitude, which is door to all the happiness, So need to keep that in our mind, otherwise reciting refuge bodhicitta prayer, you might create some merit, but it doesn't change anything. So when you say, then when you reflect on the meaning, so then if there's possibility, you may be able to integrate that into your day-to-day life. So then, of course, then you'll get maximum benefit, okay? Maximum benefit. Just for the sake of knowledge, it's not just traditions. So there's important meaning behind that. Okay. Ultimately, it boils down on your freedom, your enlightenment, your freedom. So, tonight, it's the continuation of Edward's thought transformations. I don't remember exactly which Kadampa master said, but one of the Kadampa masters said, without Lojong practice and our spiritual practice looks like painting of the fire on the wall. Painting of the fire on the walls, which looks like fire, but it doesn't have any energy. You know, so that's why the Lojong or thought transformations teachings is very much needed in order to have some energy into our spiritual practice. Without Lojong mena marme rimudas. Lojong mena marme rimudas. So marme rimudas is like the painting of the fire on the wall. That it has to be on the wall. It could be anywhere. I'm just saying it's on the wall, but could be anywhere. No, could be anywhere. I'm just saying the wall because it's convenient. Because I'm surrounded by walls, so and it could be anywhere. So bottom line is that it looks something that looks like fire, but it doesn't have energy to burn or to cook. Or to heat. So similarly, our spiritual practice, whether we are like doing mantra recitation, reciting sutra, doing lamrim meditations, there are not going to be any substance or energy if we not combine our spiritual practice with the thought transformations practice, not thought practice. Okay, so that's why. That's what I want to say. I don't remember exactly which Kadampa master, because there's a collection of advice from the Kadampa master putting together as a textbook, so I don't remember which one said on that. So how many stands have we covered so far?
We've covered two, Geshe-la.
Two? So looks like we are going backward, not going forward. So now the third one is Chalam Kundu Rangjulas, Chalam Kundu. Through all our conduct. What is our conduct? We talk. There's one conduct. Then we think. There's two conduct. Then we move our physical body to. These are the conduct. You know, these are the conduct. Conduct or actions. Actions or behavior. Chalam Kundu, through all our conduct. Is that good English, Chukila? Through all our conduct. Chalam Kundu, and we analyze, means we are trying to be mindful. Trying to be mindful about our behavior, our conduct. Chalam Kundu Rangjula, touchings, analyzing. Nyumong Kiamatas, Nyumong. In Sanskrit it's called Klesha. Then in English Sanskrit it's called delusions. Nyumong. Minute or second, the delusion rise. Da Xian Da, you means there will be negative impact on you and to others. Directly, indirectly, it makes you unhappy. It makes other unhappy. Therefore, Gishin Langri Thapa said, stand up then the doubles, with full force of effort, with full effort. Need to stop. Why? Because I'm Buddhist. Oh no, that's not good reason. Because I want to be happy. Simple step, because I want to be happy. I want others to be happy, not just me. I want others to be happy. Delusion destroyed happiness. Of course, there's physical happiness, mental happiness. Physical happiness cannot challenge mental happiness. Oh, mental happiness far more deeper than physical happiness in terms of how you achieve, how long it lasts. There's many things, but mental happiness far more important than physical happiness. The reason is based on facts. The very reason why you're trying to be mindful throughout your conduct to protect peace of mind, protect your peace of mind, or protect, make sure that your mind is not going to get disturbed. Then top of that, make sure the other person's mind doesn't get disturbed too. Kyolam kodo rangyula tochi nimo chema da dashe maru chebe na send up them the dopa shows, Kind of making strong wish, may I able to stop that will with faith in myself. I am someone who possesses Buddha nature. I am someone who is capable to reach fully enlightenment. I am someone who is capable to liberate myself. And I myself is considered as a sailboat, and this boat is capable to sail across the ocean of complication. If I put some effort, I could cross. But this boat is fully equipped to cross all the ocean of, complication or problem, difficulty, sufferings. So with that conviction, faith. So then you are kind of like making strong wish. May I able to stop it, meaning every delusion, the minute they try to arise, may I able to stop them with full force for the sake of my happiness and the happiness of other people. So that's why the stanza number 3, that's the meaning. There's a point, no matter how you explain, that's the point. There are so much complications created by conversations, the lack of mindfulness, things that we say, people get hurt, their feeling get hurt. Things that other people say, then our feeling gets hurt, not other person not being mindful. So then the thought, actions, produced by thought. So negative, whenever there's negative thought rise, there's risk that very negative thought might turn into actions. So then somebody's going to get hurt. That's a not very nice thing to do. Also, your helping is a concern. That's very nice, not nice thing to do. You know, so like, it's unrealistic approach that hoping to achieve some kind of satisfactions hurting other. That's pure ignorance. That's pure ignorance. Sorry to say, but that's pure ignorance. Hoping to achieve something, some kind of satisfactions, being kind, being generous, being nice. So that's a realistic approach. So other approach is completely ignorant. Ignorance, yeah. The first place, like how and why we believe, you know, being mean to someone, achieve your goal. Doesn't make sense. Why we believe it doesn't make sense. So that's why the stage number three is okay. Stage number three is to be mindful. What do you think? Huh? It's not just Buddhist business. It's about our life. Then you one may argue, oh, there are many, many unhappy people you see all the time. You can be nice to them. Yeah, you have, you do have legitimate concern. There are, unfortunately, not everybody's kind. According to Buddhism, primary cause, main cause is delusions. Delusion is the main cause. We cannot separate actor and actions. We see this, them are like inseparable. That's also another ignorance. You could be surrounded by all these angry people, but you don't have to get angry. You have choice. You don't have to get angry. I'm not saying it's a piece of cake. It's difficult. Difficult. It's a challenge. But you don't have to be angry. That is possible. You can maintain your peace of mind sitting somewhere surrounded by all these angry people. You don't have to get angry. That is possible. Other hand, you can simply eliminate all these unruly beings on this planet. You cannot eliminate all of them. It's impossible. You just waste some energy. It's impossible. You cannot change their mindset. It is complicated. Their belief, their logic, their theory, based on many, many different reasons. You can change, you cannot change. Even the Shakyamuni Buddha's time in India could not change everybody's mindset. Even the Mahatma Gandhi, it's like 75 years ago. It's not that long ago, 75 years ago. But Mahatma Gandhi cannot change, just forget of the whole world. He cannot change everybody's mind, every single person's mind in India, because he was shot. His people was shot. See, can change. So now that's kind of like that I feel very overwhelmed. What I should do? Overwhelmed. Shanti Deva said very clearly. Say that you are thinking to walk on like ground, probably let's say ground the size of football field ground. You very much want to walk on that ground, but turns out that ground is filled with form. So there's two things you can think of. You can think about, find some material that cover the whole this ground, the size of football field, cover that, and you can walk on that with a bare foot without hurting yourself. That's the one solution. Or you can just wear the shoes, then walk on there, same thing. Wearing shoes is like walking with your mind, rather than trying to change everybody else. That's like finding enough material to cover a whole ground the size of football field. That requires so much energy and it's more complicated. Wearing a shoes, relatively much easier, doable, won't probably feel like overwhelmed. So you can walk on that field without hurting yourself. That's what Mata Shanti Deva suggests to all of us. Whenever we overwhelm more. Totally simply, chikchom na dade tangye chom dantas. If you manage to walk with your own anger, that's pretty much indirectly equivalent of eliminating all the enemies. Pretty much. Simply. You probably need to say like mantra, you know, Shedan Sumu. Anger is a pain, is a pain. So when you harbor that, don't say that you don't feel good. Of course, how you are going to feel good? Because you are in pain. Because you are angry. That's the pain. You are not going to experience calm mind, peaceful mind at all. You are not going to experience. There will be zero peace of mind. Calm mind is completely gone. Peace of mind is completely gone. You will not experience physical pleasures or happiness. There will be no happiness and peace in your mind. Not able to sleep well, lose your appetite, then completely lose ability to judge. Wisdom is gone. That's our anger. That's your anger. It's not like somebody else's anger. That's your anger. Oh. So that's what it means, like thought transformations. So now the third line, that third stanza for adverse to thought transformations. If you remember that, review that in your mind when you go out, it will protect you. It will protect you. It will protect you. It will protect you a little bit here, there. It could protect you completely. It could protect you 100%, but that very much 100% protection from the third stanza 100% protection from the pub standard is very much depend on how we think about adverse thought transformation in daily basis and how consistent the think about adverse thought transformation in daily basis. So that very much depend on that. Getting 100% protection from the third stanza, getting 100% protections, absolute protections, from the third stanza is very much depend on how consistent we reflect on the third stanza, review, reflect. That's very much dependent on that. But if you review that in your mind when you go to the park, your perception changes, a little bit changes, your perception changes. Or you realize you are not just realize, you are being aware of your realizations. You are being aware. You're not just aware, but being aware of your awareness. Being, how you say, being aware of your awareness. Of importance of the third stanza when you walk around, kind of it temporarily change your perceptions that you realize being nasty, being unkind is not the way to achieve your happiness. So you have to be mindful. You have to be mindful, Then what if somebody approached you, give you a look, say something unkind? You have choice. You can apply antidote. If you've been practicing consistently, you could apply antidote right there. If not, Buddha said that you are not tree, you can move. You don't have to sit like tree there, you can move. If you are tree, so then your root is always the ground, you can move. You can move, then you can avoid the object. So because you have no energy to apply, you don't have to stick around, you can just, or how you say in English, roll over up. How you say?
Roll off your back?
Yeah, roll off your back. Easy to say, but it's not that easy to do. Roll off your back. So duck does that with the water pretty easily, naturally. But for us, it's not easy to say, roll off of your back. Roll off of your back. Roll off your back. Shukila, how you say?
Yeah. Roll off your back. Or... roll off like water off a duck's back.
Roll off your back. The people understand when I say roll off your back. Oh, that's good. Roll on your back. Yeah, unfortunately, every day risk. There's no risk free. Every day is risk. Every day is risk. Somebody may destroy your peace of mind. Therefore, we have to be vigilant. We have to be vigilant. 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 We have to be vigilant. Then eventually, probably there will be less thought. Less thought because the thought will, amount of thought will reduce, amount of word will reduce, so then probably amount of peace in mind will increase. Right now, many things that we say, that I say, that you say, maybe it's not necessary, but not being mindful, then it's become a habit that you just say. So, I don't think it's random. I don't think the complication and difficulty is random. I don't think it's random. If it's random, then there's no hope. Then there's nothing you can do. What Master Shabdadeva said, if there's something you can do, then you should do rather than worry. If there's nothing can be done, then why you should worry? Because there's nothing can be done. It's almost like worrying about tomorrow sunrise. There's really nothing you can do. Sunrise. I don't think there's such a thing called random. Everything is dependent on causes and conditions. Everything happens based on something. Flower grows because of the ground, fertilizer, sun, air, rain. That doesn't just grow randomly. We use the word random, but actually in reality there's not such a thing called random. Everything is dependent on causes and conditions. May I able to stop delusions the minute it tried to rise with full force. So Kamala, you want to read the translation in English, but there's better translation than with my broken English. I already explained the point.
Vigilant, the moment a delusion appears in my mind, endangering myself and others, I shall confront and avert it without delay.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Thank you very much. as I said, some of us might say, how is about if somebody being very unreasonable, unkind, unreasonable, what else? What other words? Unkind, unreasonable? More words? Huh?
Mean?
Yeah, mean, all of that, you know. Huh?
Thoughtless?
Thoughtless. Thoughtless. I think that's a good one, thoughtless. We try to minimize our thoughts. I'm just joking. Thoughtless. Huh? Being unreasonable. What we should do? Unreasonable. How many times we ourselves being unreasonable? How many times do we ever remember that? So we probably being unreasonable many times. Yes, I think the Dharma, the teaching has, if we put into practice, the teachings absolutely guarantee protections. The teaching, we're talking about the people, the teaching itself is pure, Or whether we get absolute guarantee protection or not, that's very much based on how we think about the teachings, how consistently we think about teachings in daily basis. That's very much dependent on that. Driving. Both of you don't need to think. You don't need to meditate before you drive and think about how you're going to drive. It's become automatic. Why? Because you've been doing that year after year, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. That's why it's like you drive pretty much without thinking. Can you imagine that a person who is getting a new license learning from it, how much effort they have to put into dieting, and how much anxiety, fear, stress that person goes through. Do you go through that? No. Experience, because you do that every day, same thing. Again, Master Shantideva said, Kumna lava machu imide kaya yomais. If you make yourself familiar with something, there's nothing that doesn't become familiar. Include everything, painting, playing guitar, playing harmonica, playing piano, cooking, running, jogging, exercise, everything. I think Master Shantideva was very, Master Shantideva was very right. The guide to Buddhist way of life is like composed in like 7th century, 12th century, or 11th century. Anyway, that's many centuries ago, many, many hundreds of years ago, that book is already composed by Master Shantideva. So I'm not very good in history. So when I took exam in the monastery, so history lessons, I almost got 0 grade. But just zero, the most of the monks, you know, so it's like, they just put it there, isn't it? Before it's not there. So that's later on. Education department decided to put it there so that simply there's no time to study history. Anyway, Master Shantideva said, there's nothing that doesn't become familiar if you put some effort, if you try to make familiar with you. Oh, making a break. Beginning, you don't know how to make dough. Your hand is like on the door, you have no idea what to do. And you look at someone who know how to make bread. Well, they make it so easy. Yeah, because they have been doing this long period of time. It's not like they just figured that out like instantaneously, but they've been doing that long period of time. They know exactly. So you don't, probably your hand is all, both our hands like full of doors, so they don't know what to do. People who know, they know exactly. Same material, same water, it's not like they are using some magical water. Same dough, same flour, same thing. And you are kind of, wow, like, look at that. Yeah, been doing this every single day. So, and a long time ago, the group of Geshe's in Santa Fe, Taos, New Mexico, we are invited into the mountain, top of the mountain. One Irish lady, she is also, because they are having some kind of, they are facing doubt. So we are invited there to do some ritual performance for rain. And combined with her own tradition, Irish traditions, they also do something for the rain. We are waiting in our room. All of a sudden, there's one, I think the 85 years old man show up, that's our driver. Taken to the mountains. Oh, like on the walking stick. There's one young monk. We've been reciting prayers all the way to the top of the mountains. When we reached to the base of the mountain, he got out with his stick, walking stick, and he bang on all the wheels, make sure all the wheels are okay. So then he said, go inside. The young monk offered to drive. He refused. The man refused. So the man showed there's like many, many like stick. There's a stick. He showed the tiny one. He said, if I put that, I could drive on the mountains. Mountain itself, not the road, mountain itself. Oh, so then from there, I think probably we didn't breathe. Probably we did not breathe, so eventually probably he sensed that we are afraid. So when we got there, he made jokes that, you know, like, yeah, we are kind of like freaking out all the geshe's. So the kind of like from attachment to the life. So experience, you have confidence, you know exactly what you're doing. Okay, on the road, he almost hit one car, not on the mountain, but that make us more scared, you know. So he's very kind of, he drive kind of rough, doesn't follow the rule that much, you know. It's almost somebody honking at us. Anyway, experience. Oh. Experience. In Tibet, there's one Lama, when he's riding a horse, before he put one other feet on the other side of the horse, he finished entire Namrim meditations. Wow, that's not easy. For me, it's taking a long time. Experience. You can do. Don't get discouraged. You can do. Definitely you can do. Full protection. Then rushing in the syndrome of Dido talk, it's hard. Even though you say from your mouth, it is practical wise, it's not easy thing to do. It's not easy thing to do. But if you do, you get maximum benefit. So that benefit is absolutely 100% guarantee. That benefit is absolutely 100% guarantee. So now think about, please take a moment and breathe and think about what will you do? That including myself, I'm not just talking about you. What will you do when you encounter somebody being unreasonable, thoughtless, mean, whatever you call it? Don't ever think that you have no choice. You always have choice. Always choice. It requires some mindfulness. That's for sure. It requires mindfulness. What's important? That also needs to be understood very clearly. What is important? That moment you may feel that something else is important, then you forgot. You kind of forget what is important. It's peace of your mind. Oh, you could be walking with somebody else, maybe trying to decorate or maybe trying to sort it out, things in your kitchen. And you suggest something that other person kind of disagree. What will you do? These are little things, you know, little things. Because you want these particular things to go there. And you have reason. It's not like you are not being unreasonable. You have reason because these things have been not used very often. The things have been used once a while. And it's getting in the way, so maybe move over there. Then you thought of another thing, or maybe there's something else to move. It's all good thought. Then that other person say, oh, but that's not a good idea. You know, it won't do any good. So you thought it's going to do something good. Other person thought it's not going to do any good. You don't like to hear that. And you want to push your idea. Rather than breathe and take a moment, sit back and think, is that true? It doesn't do any good. So then there's stress being generated. Now there's some kind of conflict between what you want to do, what other person doesn't want to do. Then you come up with all this, oh, maybe that person doesn't want to move. Maybe he's being just lazy. That's his ultimate goal, is just he doesn't want to move, that's all. It's not like it doesn't do any good. It will do good things, but he doesn't want to move. Then you come up with all sort of reason, you know, to justify that his thinking is wrong. Meanwhile, completely forgetting what is important. Moving things, this thing here, there, that's not that important. What is important is your peace of mind and the other person's peace of mind. We don't think about minimizing argument. We always try to push our own agenda into somebody else's life. They're not, many times, not willing to listen what other person is suggesting. And not just listening and completely rejecting and probably almost saying that you are wrong, I'm right. That's not the way to protect your peace of mind. That's not the way to protect your peace of mind. But we do. Unfortunately, we do. And I'm like, so that many occasions, all these little things here, moving things here, painting house, you know, putting like decorating the house, you know, how many people that get into arguments like painting a house, moving, decorating things in the kitchen, decorating things in the house. Going outside, outing, like, oh, going here, this leg or that leg, all kinds of things, you know? Not knowing what is the most important thing to protect, or what is the most important thing to protect. That's why, you know, that's the reason why life gets complicated. This is talking about someone being mean, unreasonable. It's not like you are seeing someone who's against your suggestions, against your opinion, against your idea. It's not like that. It's like somebody being just mean, unkind. How is it about if somebody's have different idea than your idea, different opinion than your opinions? How you deal with that in the first place. Then talk about that somebody being miserable and unreasonable, very mean, unkind. It's tough. Therefore, being consistent, continuously reflecting on what is the most important things for my life, what's the most important things. Being mindful. So that helps a little bit here there. It could help a lot if you if you're aware your surrounding all the time with the awareness of practice. No, so that requires consistency. Otherwise, one of the katamaras is four tongues. Your belly is full, your tummy is full. Oh, weather's very nice. So then you appear as a very great practitioner or maybe great meditators. Because tummy is full, the weather is nice, there are very little things to complain, and you appear as a great practitioner. When little things fall apart here, there, so then you show who really you are, that you kind of manifest that. Yeah, this body can be spoiled, this mind can be very much spoiled. Yeah. When you travel some other part of the world, just looking at their way of life, how much they live, you never heard here in this country. People make $1.50 a day, all the hard labor, physical labor, not just sitting on the sofa and like working on the computer. Hard physical labor, how much they make? $1.50 a day. Imagine that. You don't hear much complaint from them. They feel lucky they have a job. It's like, everything is relative. Everything is relative. Everything is relative. So, of course, in the West, in America, you have your own version of difficulty or challenge. Those challenges compared to these people is nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing. And they are human beings. They look same like us. Not exactly the same, but they are one of us. What will you do when you encounter someone being very mean and unreasonable, unkind? What will you do? So that question, each of us, we need to ask, what will you do? Avoid or apply antidote. Avoid, apply antidote. Apply antidote that requires consistent reflections on the practice, on this standard number 4 all the time. Standard number 4 all the time. Consistent reflection on the standard number 4 in daily basis, or you could maybe apply when you encounter, you could apply, you could see. Maybe you may not react in negative way. You are looking from the problem. You may able to look at the situation from the broader picture rather than just focusing on what's happening right there. If we are consistently reflecting on the standard number 4 on a daily basis, there is possibility you could apply sticking with the object, somebody being miserable, unreasonable, unkind, you could stand there and you could apply antidote. If not, so then Gautama Master suggests avoid the object because negative mind will die down slowly if you avoid the object. That's the choice. And I was just wondering, what will you do? What will you do? These are the advice given by Gautama Master. Avoiding object, you are going to be more successful rather than trying to stick there and apply antidote. This advice is given by Gautama Master from a couple hundred years ago. Or another one said the same thing, but same meaning. Another one said the negative mind will die down gradually if you avoid the object. Then probably the Buddha said, you are not a tree, you can move. And not a tree, you can move. You can move. So now the question is, what will you do? What will you do? Because, you are responsible for your happiness. I don't say I'm not responsible. Yeah, you are morally responsible for your happiness. But you have to admit that you are morally responsible for your happiness. That's your moral responsibility. So then, based on that, what will you do? What will you do? Advice given by Gautama Master, then the the teaching is given by Kadambu Master, such as Gishi Langri Thapa, you know. Rashing in the symptom of Jidu Thapa, you know, to reject the Thapa. Yeah, at the beginning, it's going to be big challenge. You even don't want to hear that person's name, just forget about seeing that person. You even don't want to hear that person's name. That much resentment. Even you don't want to hear that person's name. You don't want anybody to say that person's name. That much resentment. And you think, then you realize most important thing for me is protect my peace of mind. That's the most important thing. Revenge is not that, that's not the most important thing. But I was driven by that, I didn't realize that's ignorance. It's not wisdom. Eventually then you slow, so you can, now you have no problem, somebody says, peace or harm, then you're okay. Before, no way, there's no way. No way. You will fight with any person that bring up their person's name, you will fight with them. Now, you thought about, that is meditation. When you think, there's meditation. Now, when somebody bring their person's names, now your attitude change, your perception change. Why did change taking place? Oh, because of the practice, spiritual practice. Spiritual practice, you've been consistent with every single day. So there's changing your perceptions. Eventually, before it's impossible, even just somebody saying the person's name, you 100% reject. It's impossible you to say, but somebody else say you don't want to say. Now it's kind of ease, a little bit ease. You don't mind if somebody's saying this person's name, you don't mind. Eventually, or somebody, oh, that person's very now just doing very well. Because your attitude, the before, when you hear that, now you thought, oh, good. Good, you know, it's good things. To be successful, it's good things. You know, one negative thought based on one person is gone from your heart. There's one less stress in your heart. In your heart, there's one less stress. You got rid of that. By thinking, finally you got rid of that. Next time when you even hear that person's name, nothing happens. Same person, same name, now nothing happens. Not just that. Or someone says, oh, that person now being successful, you say, oh, good, that's good things. Good things. You don't have any resentment. Who's benefiting? You are the benefiting. You are the one who's benefiting because now one painful one pain is gone from your heart. You have less pain now, one pain is gone. Somehow you managed to get rid of that pain and realize it is just ridiculous to hold that pain. Ridiculous. No? Oh, I think the symptom of Dito Thapa, isn't it? The Rinchenta of the Nevelas. So, Rinchenta of the Nevelas is like seeing being unreasonable, being unkind, mean, seeing that is my precious jewel, that's very difficult. Practically, that's very, very difficult. It's not easy at all. We can read, we can study, but it's practical. It's not easy. Not easy at all. Not easy. Not easy. It is possible. It's not easy, but it's possible. Why is it possible? Because you can get it. You are equipped with achieving enlightenment. That's why it's possible. But it's not easy. It's not easy. Just think about, if you can do that, never lose your peace of mind. You never lose your peace of mind. Benefit, you are never going to lose your peace of mind. Benefit. That's a great risk that you may lose your coolness. How do you say coolness?
Lose your cool?
Yeah, you may lose your cool. That's great risk. You may lose your cool. This risk is real. It's not just imagining. It's very real. You're just, wishing here. You're trying to develop strong wish. May I able to see whenever I encounter somebody being mean, unkind, unreasonable, may I able to see that being as a precious jewel. Oh, easy to say. Practically, it's not easy. That is to see. That is to see. As I said, gradually it may change before you don't want to hear. Just forget about encountering unreasonable being, unkind, mean, but just forget about that. It's the gradual change. Somebody hurt your feelings and you hold on that. You don't want to hear that person's name. You don't want anybody to say that person's name. And you only wish something negative for that person. If something good has to happen, you hate it. You don't prove. Many things like slowly change one by one. Oh, now hearing name. It's okay. Now somebody praising that person. Now somebody seeing that person become successful now. It's a gradual change. So then maybe it's possible you could see you walk in the park, all of a sudden somebody's like cursing very loudly. Our fast reaction, I found a piece of jewel. That's not a fast reaction. That's not a fast reaction. If that's a fast reaction, your life is going to be much, much better. Your life is going to be much better. Your life is going to be 100% much better. Less stress. That's not the case. Then you hurt again, the person's cursing again, very loudly. And you hurt again, and you realize that person has Tourette's, how is that?
Tourette's?
Yeah, Tourette's, you understand Tourette's? No problem. You feel bad. You feel bad? Why you feel bad? Realize this person is sick. Is that true? Same thing. When we talk about the medicine, about the practice, attachment, anger, ignorance, it's called as a disease. It's called disease. If somebody's angry, they are sick. But we don't see that sick. Because we don't see the delusion as a problem. We don't see the delusion as a problem. We see the person as a problem. We don't see the delusion as a problem. That is the problem. So now that, as soon as you realize that person has some kind of disease, then you feel kind of bad, then you wish that person to be well. So now second time when you hear, it doesn't bother that much, and like first time. First time, like, wow, in the public place, like how you could say something like in the public place. At that time, you have no idea that person trying so hard to control, but not able to control. Not able to control. It's a disease. The person is so hard. You have no idea how hard the person is trying not to say. You know, you have no idea. Everybody's trying so hard to be kind, I think. What do you think? For auspiciousism, we said that. Auspiciousism, everyone is trying so hard to be kind. Second time when you hear, third time you hear, it doesn't bother that much because you realize that person is sick. Same thing. When somebody is being very angry, that person is sick, very sick. But we don't see the delusion as a problem. That is the problem. So therefore, we don't get any taste of liberation. We don't get any taste of liberation. What is liberation? Probably have no clue. Because we don't see delusion as a problem. The delusion is a problem. Of all the complications that we face in this life, it's caused by delusions. It doesn't cause it by compassion, loving kindness, care, respect. It's caused by delusions. It's caused by delusions. Ignorance. Ignorance. Seeing and believing in ignorance. Ignorance, yeah. Ignorance. So what will you ask yourself question? Okay, so before you recite this stanza, what will you do? What, Damasi? Time up?
No, Geshe-la, I had a question.
Yes. Well, how much? Okay, now I have a question. How much time left?
About 10 minutes, Geshe-la.
Oh yeah. Okay.
So my question is, can you talk a little bit about what would be the logic that would take us from thinking this mean person is, you know, a problem to thinking this person is a jewel? Because, like, understand, you know, I can see getting to where you're patient with them, but seeing them, you know, what is the tool to see them actually as a precious jewel? How does that mean person who gets at me, how does that person become a precious jewel?
You need to think about what you gain.
Okay.
What you gain from that person?
A chance to practice patience.
Yeah, you gain patience?
Yeah.
What else? You could gain compassion.
Compassion, yeah.
You could gain loving kindness. There are many things you could gain from that, depending on that person. You could gain, first of all, you can gain a lot of patience. That person is providing you to practice the patience.
Mm-hmm.
You can practice patience with somebody being nice. There's no reason to practice patience. Why you practice patience with someone nice? First of all, you can practice patience with someone nice. You can't practice. It's impossible. The only practice of patience with somebody's kind of getting to your nerve. So you gain patience. There are mental qualities. You get loving kindness. You get compassion. That's why then you see that person as a precious jewel, because it provided you so many opportunities to gain so many mental qualities. That's the reason why one could one, there is possibilities focusing on qualities that you gain from based on that person's. So based on that qualities or opportunities that person provide you to gain those qualities, based on that knowledge, then you can see if there's a possibility you could see that person as a person jewel. But you know, practically, it is a challenge. It is a challenge for you, for me, for all of us. So, but before that, we have choice. We don't have to be mean. We don't have to be mean. That you have choice, even though you are not able to see that person as a piece of person jewel. But way before that, you don't have to react. You don't have to be mean. You don't need to respond. You can just avoid. Go somewhere else. You know? There's many steps before that. You know? So the seeing as a precious jewel. Are we convinced? Are we convinced that you could gain so many mental, so many qualities based on mean person? Are you convinced? No, probably not. You don't want to be around with unreasonable presence. How you are going to see the benefit being around with unreasonable persons, gaining something? You are not convinced because first place you don't want to be around. And you never thought about when I'm being around with unreasonable people, unkind people, what I should do. You never thought about that. Very good question. That is a very good question. But you know, practically it's a challenge. So before that, so avoiding. That we need to think about something else before we see. Oh, you found piece of ice, precious jewel. That's probably that take a lot of effort, and it's not going to be easy. But you pray every single day. You pray that may I able to do this. May I able to see that mean person whenever I encounter mean person. May I able to see there is a that's a piece of jewel, piece of precious jewel. So then you know, you pray. So maybe that will lead somewhere. But and then it doesn't mean just prayer. But then when you see more little things, as I said, oh, moving this here, there, you need to pause and think before you push your idea or opinion on somebody else without knowing. Without considering their opinion, their suggestion is something good. So these things probably need to work on. Otherwise, seeing physically encountering mean persons, how are you going to see that this is a piece of precious jewel? How? Impossible. You can even compromise your idea with somebody else's idea, how in the world you are going to see when you encounter a mean person, see this as a precious jewel. It almost seems like impossible. It's difficult. Therefore, Chalam Kundu Sikijans, train my mind verbally, one of the mind in the text, I'm not sure where, which one. Train my mind verbally throughout all my conduct verbally. What that means? That means that repeating the word in your mind, repeating your mind. As I said, when you go to the park, repeating that stanza in your mind, that temporarily change your perceptions, how you perceive other beings around you. And that helps not to judge. Yeah, that helps not to judge what they're doing, what they're that people do all kinds of things. You do all kinds of things. Same time, people do all kinds of things. That at least stop you to judge people. You know, so perception changes a little bit. So that's what it means. Train verbally, train my mind verbally throughout all my conduct. That means you are saying, may all sentient beings have happiness, cause of happiness. Just saying that word, may all sentient beings have happiness, cause of happiness. That change perceptions. When you go outside, that change perceptions. Well, there's many teachings you can repeat. You don't say it loud, but you can say it in your mind. You can repeat all. Nobody wants even the slightest problems. Nobody. Including yourself, all the people that walk in the park, same thing. Nobody. Nobody wants slightest problems. Nobody. How I know? You ask them. You ask yourself, you ask them, and you find out. It's nothing to do with minor teaching, that's the fact. You are not content when it's come down to happiness. Same thing, other person. They are not content when it's come down to happiness. There's no differences. That's the fact. There's no difference between me and you when it's come down to death. Same thing, that's all same. We're all same. If that's the fact, based on them, then you judge, based on that, then you calculate what you should do. Calculate. Precisely calculate based on that reality. Are you going to end up more benefit if you be kind, if you can be kind, at least be aware of the other person doesn't want any problem. Just to be aware. Very breathing, living being there, you see, looking for every single second, looking for happiness. That's the fact. Doesn't matter Tibetan, American, white, black, brown, Buddhist, Christian, Muslim, same thing. That we have to be aware. So based on that fact, then precisely calculate your approach. In order to get maximum benefit for your life, you need to precisely calculate how to approach. So that's what it is. Train my mind verbally throughout all my conduct, means repeat. And thinking, saying the word in your mind, at the same time thinking. What is that? That is productive meditations. Even though you are not sitting down, that is meditations. That is called productive meditations. Even though you are not sitting down, doesn't matter. That is meditations. Okay, so maybe now time is up, I think. Yeah. Thank you very much, all of you. Thank you, Ryan, for coming to class. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and always thinking about you in my prayer. Right.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so then thank you, all of you, for coming in. And have a wonderful night. Enjoy the weather. Now weather is being very nice. Don't become attached. It could change any moment. Just enjoy. Don't cling on that. It could change any moment. While there, enjoy. Oh yeah, thank you. And people, if there's anybody watching on YouTube, then thank you very much. And have a wonderful night. And when the Alhamdulillah will do the dedications.
May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain a notion of happiness and joy by virtue of our merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms, hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be free from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may these never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid, and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power, and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the misery of the world. In the land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good. All-powerful Chenrezig Tenzin Gyatso, please remain until samsara ends. The one who mastered his speech at a very young age, the one with great patience who received the name Avatara, the one with great precision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa on bliss and void, Lama, ornament of the yellow hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. You who uphold the subduer's moral way, who serve as the bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Manjana's victorious doctrine, who masterfully accomplish magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, savior of myself and others, your disciples, please, please live long. Om tare tu tare tu re so ha. 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 Om tare tu tare tu re so ha.
Oh yeah, thank you. Good night. See you next Wednesday. Buenas noches. Hasta mañana. No, hasta mañana. Hasta luego. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Gracias, Geshe-la.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, thank you.
Gracias, Geshe.
Oh yeah, okay. Geshe-la.
Bye.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Geshe-la.
Thank you, Geshe-la.
Thank you, Geshe-la.
Good night.
Thank you,
Geshe-la. Thank you, Geshe-la.
Thank you, good night.